change your life around. He changed my life around, so he will change your life around too. Amen. Hallelujah. I just have a few announcements for you on this morning, so I'll just go right into them. So this Friday, ladies, we have a wonderful event for all of us to attend. It is our Women's Fellowship, and it's going to be held at the AMF Altamont Springs Bowling Alley, which is right down the street here. I believe it's on Douglas Avenue. So if you're competitive, or if you just like to have fun, then you can please come on out and make sure that you make your way Friday, April 5th at 7 p.m. There is a Groupon, or I'm not sure if it's still available, but what you want to do is just make sure that you speak with Sister Alicia Winsley or Sister Akile Mara for more information. But we want all of our ladies to attend. Even if you don't like to bowl, it's still good to come because for some reason, bowling alleys just have good food too. So, I don't know. But make sure that you come out either way, okay? And then next up, on Saturday, April the 6th at 12 p.m. sharp, we will have a community outreach event, and it's going to be held right here at the Pathways to Care, which is right on the other side of the street. If you keep taking Anchor Road around, it's right here, and it's going to be a spaghetti dinner. So if you have not had the chance to donate any money or any items for this particular dinner, make sure you see Sister LaToya today, because this event is this Saturday, and we want to continue to make an impact in the community. So it's not too late for you to donate. That rhyme. It's not too late for you to donate. Did everybody get that? Okay, just making sure you're paying attention. It's not too late for you to donate for the spaghetti dinner this Saturday. I think I rhymed something. Okay, so please see Sister LaToya Lewis for more information. And also, volunteers are needed to actually serve the dinner. So make sure that you see her for more information. And then also on April 13th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., we are participating in a kickball tournament at the Castleberry Elementary School. And it's for ages 16 and up. The price for the tournament is $200 per team. So if we can get 10 people, that'll be $20 per person. Make sure that you see Brother Ryan Carroll today for more information. I believe today is when practice should begin.
It should be, but because we got to get volunteers.
Yes.
We got people flaking.
Yes.
We can't have that. So if it's going to happen, we got to have at least 8 people volunteering. If I can't, and at least 2 females. And we got a lot of fit ladies in here, and I know that. So there should be no problem, but if I can't get at least 8 people, including 2 females, we will have to cancel the kickball tournament this year. And I mean, we're a strong presence there, but you know, we gotta come full force. So come see me today. If you know anyone that you know is willing to get out there, a friend, family, associate of yours, hey, they're more than welcome. All right.
Okay, and so then also I have an announcement for Thursday, April the 18th at 7 p.m. Everybody knows that we have Bible study on Thursdays, right? Thursdays at 7 p.m.? Okay. Well, on this particular day, instead of having Bible study here, we are going to be going to the Winter Park Regal Cinemas and watching a new Christian film. It's called Breakthrough. So we have a trailer that we want to show you. That gives a little bit more description of the movie so that you can go ahead and get your tickets and be prepared. Ready?
This is our town. It's a close-knit community, the kind of place where everyone knows everyone.
I'm Miss Jay.
Hey, how are you girls?
And we're always there for each other.
Nice, sir. Pastor.
What do you guys have on for the rest of the day?
Well, Don has a basketball game.
Yeah, I've seen this guy goofing up around here. This kid is so lit.
Text your mom tomorrow and tell her when and where to pick you up.
Don't do anything stupid.
Love you guys.
We're training for the Olympics, sir.
Cindy.
He's been underwater for more than 15 minutes. It's going to be a recovery, not a rescue. I got something.
We got him!
You've done everything you
more we can do.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
A 14-year-old St. Charles boy who spent 15 minutes trapped underwater is continuing to fight for his life.
I don't believe John will survive tonight.
You don't know my son. He is a fighter. So I need you to be the best for John, and you just let God do the rest. You are my pride and joy. I can't wait to see you in those baskets and run up and down the court again.
The Smith family asked for one thing. Please pray for John.
In the war that day, I was ready to give up. But then I hear this voice telling me to come back. Either I'm nuts
or God's talking to you.
But I don't believe in God.
I believe, but maybe that only goes so far with something like this.
I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to walk alongside you for as long as it takes.
Did you see the Facebook page? It's gone viral.
Mommy?
I hope it's gonna be okay.
We're not gonna get through this alone. Whatever you have for me, for Brian, for Tom.
If I embarrass you, but that's the only words that I know. Hook up.
And so the other announcement that I have is, yes, remember last Sunday when Pastor asked everyone to pray about BPK and 4C, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Does everybody remember that?
Yes.
Well, do y'all know prayer works?
Yes.
I said prayer works. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. TLA is certified. BPK 4C certified. So if you know anyone who has these types of vouchers, please make sure that you direct them to this phone number so that they can go ahead and call. And if you have not enrolled your child yet, I'm telling you right now, today, this is my theme, today is the day. Do not delay. Okay. Rick, you might have to put me on the out. Today is the day. Do not delay to sign your child up for TLA.
Amen, amen, amen. That's just me being the shepherd. That's all. That's all. God bless you. God keep you. I believe that the announcements are just great. I was just like just astonished when everything just came through, and especially in regards to the VPK, as well as 4C. We got a couple of little other things, like maybe one inspection to kind of go through to kind of just completely seal the deal. But it's just a great resource to this particular community. Even on yesterday, we participated in a major way incorporated first annual business expo, outdoor business expo over there in the community in Wynwood Park. I saw Tiana out there. Hey, she probably like, these people just show up everywhere. They pop up like the Great Pumpkin. Oh my gosh. But that just means that we're integrated in the community, and it was just a wonderful and glorious time. It wasn't a church event, y'all. Lady Martin, her allergies were having some problems out there. I had a smile on my face the entire time. Because, boy, I tell you, they were smoking some weed up out there. I was just like this. You okay, Pastor Martin? Oh, yeah. But I'm like this. How will people know that you care unless you are among them? You can't just be around saved folk the entire time. So you have to be a green light. And there were so many people that came up to our booth. Even Papa Duck came up to our booth. I was like, I'm glad I wasn't joking out there because somebody will find out who I was and everything. And so it's just a great and glorious time. And it's just such a wonderful thing to see people within the community, within our community, that are trying to do entrepreneurship, that are trying to reach out and better themselves and trying to make a change. It's just so different from just having partying and alcohol and all this other different types of things. And so we were able to pass out a lot of our resources in regards to this particular church, as well as the daycare. And there was a lot of young ladies that came up and talked with Lady Martin about the vouchers and things like that. So we know that we can do both, and we go walk and chew gum at the same time. And so we don't want to be isolative. We don't want to be elitist. We always want to be among the people. That's exactly what Jesus did, because how can you catch unless you go fishing? And if you never go fishing, you're never going to catch anything. All right. Amen. I just want to hear just a little bit of that song, and then we're going to go ahead and get into the word. Our champion. That's it. Come on.
There is only one name. There is only one name. Power to save. Power to save.
There is only one name.
There is only one.
There is only one name.
Power to save.
Power to save.
this community. Transform, change hearts, Lord God, touch lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. For there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. So Lord God, we come to you right now, calling upon your name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. God keep you.
Yeah, I believe there's someone at the entrance of the door. God bless you. Heaven open. Come now. Come now. Amen. Amen. I love that song. I think that's going to be on my top five. My top five Pastor Martin classics. So if you ever see me with the ugly face and looking strange, play that song. Play that song. Play that song and then also that other song, Great God. Anytime you want me to get off your back, play Great God and it'll help soothe the savage beast. Amen. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. This morning, scripture is going to come from out of Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 7. 37, excuse me. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Make sure my PFL button is pressed down back there. All right. Amen. Turn the volume a little bit up on the headphone volume, and then we'll be good. Amen. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37 says, and it goes as follows. Verse 31, again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed. He no longer was stuttering or mute. And he began speaking plainly. And he gave them orders, this being Jesus, gave them orders not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Repeating verse 36 and 37. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The title of this morning's message, I promise you, I did not know that we're going to sing that today. Open heaven. Lord, have mercy. Open heaven. Father, help me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This title, Open Heaven, before I get into the crux of the introduction, was nagging at me. I was talking with Lady Martin. I always be talking with Lady Martin. It's almost like she's the only woman in my life, but she is. And I was talking with Lady Martin. I was like, this song has been nagging me, the one by Miranda Curtis. Is that the one? And it was just, you know, I was listening to it last night while I was studying, and it was just been nagging me. It's been nagging me for like the last 2 weeks. One night it was nagging me so bad until I could not go to sleep until 3 a.m. in the morning. It was just like it was repeating. I was like, Lord God, what's going on? So obviously, when you're sitting on a word like that, you need to get it out to the people. Heaven, place where the streets are paved with gold. A place whose foundations are layered with the finest and most precious of jewels. A place with 12 gates made with iridescent pearl. That means it changes color depending on the reflection of the sun. A legendary place known as paradise that has been spoken of worldwide for thousands of years across the globe, even across several different religions, as the resting place for those that have been found righteous in the eyes of an all-seeing God. Heaven, a place where there will be no sight of tears dripping from pain, bodies ravaged with disease or decay, and no threats from evil expressed through sin in ourselves, sin in the people around us, or sin in the world, swirling with demons submitted to Satan, bent on taking as many humans to hell as possible. Heaven is a great place to see those saved loved ones again, to be at peace with one's soul, and being in the presence of God for all eternity sounds like a great proposition for many of us. Now, Lord God, if we could only visit for a moment, if we could only be there in your bosom like Abraham for a moment, if we could be among God's people, the saints of old, if only for a moment to have a conversation with Abraham, to speak with Isaac about how he was taken up to the hill and getting ready to be sacrificed by his father, to even speak with Isaac as his name was changed from Jacob, to talk with Elijah, to talk with Elisha, to talk with David, to speak with them. Could be a wonderful thing, an astonishing thing, a great proposition even. But if you're breathing and can see or hear this message, the time for that is not yet. The truth of the matter is, people of God, is that heaven is a future hope reserved for those who are saved, I must make this clear, by God. Heaven is reserved not for everybody. God loves everybody, but not everybody loves God. God cares for people, but not everyone cares for God. And God would suffer that no man would perish, but everyone would receive everlasting life. But not everybody is going to receive everlasting life with him. So heaven is a future hope for those of us that are saved, even if you don't feel like you're saved. So it's closed right now while you are alive, or so we think. You see, just because it's reserved for those who are saved and it is a future hope of eternity, that does not mean that you cannot make frequent visits and get a taste or a glimpse of heaven while you are here. You see, people of God, God has dispatched a couple of clues, even on the earth realm, to let us know that future hope is something to look forward. One of those being the church in and of itself, the church, the body of Christ, was God's gift to mankind to let everybody on the planet know that I am here and I ain't going nowhere. That's just one particular piece. One way of recognizing that this is not our home forever. But the other thing is that while we could get a taste or a glimpse of heaven right now while we're here, the first thing that may be wrestling with you right now is how? I wonder, how could I make a visit to heaven? Doesn't that mean that I have to die? Well, yes, it does mean you have to die. Not physically, not literally, but you have to have a crucifixion of the flesh. You have to die to yourself. Paul said, I die daily. That means that there has to be a part of you that must conform and submit itself to God. That thing that you do not want to submit is the very thing that you need to give to God. But how can we make visits? How can I just pull up like I did with a couple of young people early this morning and ask them about their relationship with God? Well, the answer lies with the Savior Jesus, who was the first to share with us how to open heaven in my Miranda Curtis voice. To open heaven and connect in the spirit with those things that are above and not everywhere you look, which represents the beneath. So as I go into the sermon this morning, we want to break down the scriptures. And if I indulge your attention just for a moment, let's look at Mark chapter 7, verse 31. and 32 as the first two opening verses. And it says, again, he, being Jesus, went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hand on him. These few verses show us a couple of things, and I want to share them with you. Number one, that God will find you no matter where you are or where you are from. You see, how does this meaningful here? Well, number one, Tyre was known throughout the ancient world and in scripture as the place of idolatry and wickedness. Inside of Ezekiel chapter 21, it talks about the king of Tyre and how it was like a symbol and type of Satan that fell down from heaven. He was the anointed cherub, the one that went to and fro. Tyre was not only a physical place, but it represented a demonic reality in Satan himself. Tyre. But yet, Jesus came there, looking for people, seeking out people, through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and within the region of Decapolis, which is just as treacherous. So God will search for you. His eyes go to and fro upon all of the earth, looking for those that want to have a relationship with him. If you acknowledge God, he will acknowledge you. If you ignore God, he has no problem being silent. Number two, that one must be in the presence of God in order to experience miracles, signs, and wonders. Something that we very rarely talk about today in the church world, because we got people waving jackets and people falling down on the ground and putting hands on people and falling down like dominoes. All of the sensational buffoonery and ridiculousness does not negate the fact that God is still a miracle worker. He still performs signs. He still is a wonder in and of himself, and he can dispatch anything into this earth realm at any moment in time. But I believe there must be an atmosphere conducive for his presence. Not only that you need a few people around you who can hear God. Oh my goodness, you missed it. They brought him, verse 32 says, to him one who was deaf. There was a they there. You missed it. They brought him, the one who could not speak and could not hear, and he had problems speaking, and they, there it is again, implored him, being Jesus, to lay his hand on him. So you need a few people around you who can hear God when you can't hear him, to know how to speak for God when you can't speak to God, and can understand his voice when you can't recognize what God is saying. These type of folk will get you to him because they already know what he can do. Every single time I meet with somebody, I try to give them a little bit of a testimony as far as what God has done in my life. And because of what he has done in my life, if he could save somebody who used to be a whore, somebody who used to be on drugs and alcohol, somebody who used to be a brawler, somebody who just didn't give a flip, or somebody who used to put holes in drywalls, had anger problems, anger issues, sex issues, if he could do something with me, sure, surely he can do it for you. There's a testimony in my heart. There's a testimony in my mind. I remember I used to practice black occult type of things. I used to be in comedic science. I used to look at Balogun and Osiris and Yoruba. I used to look at all these different types of things. I remember even as I was telling you guys many, many moons ago, I used to take this thing that was from Spencer Gifts. It was a black little thing called the magic ball or magic cube. And I used to shake that thing up every single time I thought I got a girl pregnant. Is she pregnant? Yes, no, or maybe. I'm not the only one. I used to see Ouija boards. I used to see all different types of strange things. I used to go on the internet back in the 90s, y'all, looking for the Illuminati. I was doing things that had nothing to do with God. I was a mason. I loved esoteric knowledge and deep things and things that were up under the cover. I was a conspiracy theorist. I would be that strange type of person that would be yelling out the crowd, just like Kanye West. I was out of my mind. And because God saved me, He transformed my life. I even have sinners, as I converse with them back and forth on social media, that say, even though I don't believe in God, I can truly tell that you do. Amen. So you have to have a they. You got to have a group of folk that can bring you to Jesus when you cannot hear Him and when you don't know His voice. Not only that, there is an importance in the hand of God. They implored Him. They asked of Jesus, can you at least lay your hands on Him? If nothing else, put your hands on the man, and because we've heard your exploits. We've seen what you've done in Galilee. We've seen how you've handled cussing Peter. We've seen how you handled even your own disciples, how you fed the 5,000. How you've made the lame walk. The person that was by the pool of Bethesda that was there for 38 years, when they met you, things changed. When we talked to him, nothing changed. He was just looking to be put into the troubled water, not understanding he was still a troubled soul. So the importance of the hand of God being on our lives is important, because God, let me tell you this, God is the potter and we are the clay. Not just the regular type of clay that's smooth and silky on the outside, but the scripture calls us marred clay. In other words, it looks like somebody put their paws on us. Looks like they put their paws on our clay, and we need to understand that we are unable to shape ourselves. Who can always straighten themselves out? We have a better time telling everybody else about how they could fix their lives, but then when it comes to us, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The reason why that song resonates with us is because we cannot speak for or always fix ourselves. We make excuses for our behavior, our dysfunction, our buffoonery, our ridiculousness. We make excuses for our radical behavior, excuses for our mindset, our laziness, our lack of even wanting to step out and do the things by faith. So we're marred clay. Can't shape ourselves. Another representation of us in the human experience is that we are also broken vessels. In need of restoration. Does it feel like your life is shattered into 1,000 pieces? Like somebody just dropped you. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. A fairy tale. A nursery rhyme, as we would call it, from yesteryear that I remember so vividly. But just because the king's horses and the king's men couldn't put them back together doesn't mean that the king can.
Hello,
oh, you want to be down with the king? That's a Run DMC reference. Look it up on YouTube for everybody that doesn't know what the ham fat I'm talking about. We have to be down with the king. We have to know exactly what God can do. He can take a broken vessel in need of restoration. Not to just be put on the shelf. God didn't bring you to Divine Truth Christian Center where God wants your dreams and visions realized just to be restored and not do nothing. No. Not just gathering dust. I used to think about that. You just sitting up there and you see in grandmama's house the side of the china cabinet, and it looks like it's just gathering dust. It's beautiful, but it's gathering dust. And I remember that God breathed into man's nostrils because we were made of the dust. And dust gathers. That means that there's dead things gathering around something that should be poured into. So we cannot just be a vessel that's sitting on the shelf gathering dead things. But to be poured into. To stimulate or stir growth. Paul said to stir up the gift that lies on the inside of you. That's the reason why you are described as a vessel that once was marred and unshapen clay. shattered and broken, but you can be restored. You can be stirred up on the inside so that not only can you be poured into, God brings something to you. No, not only for God to bring something to you or God to bring something to your table, but also for you to be poured out of so that you can help others. Hallelujah. Everybody inside of the house of the Lord should be used. Whatever ministry that it is, whether it's a ministry of giving, ministry of serving, ministry of just cooking, a ministry of being able to help individuals, counseling other individuals, being able to be a word of encouragement, exhortation, administration, whatever one of the gifts that you see in the 2 Corinthians, that is what is in this house. It does not have to be just preaching only. Amen. You don't have to speak in tongues in order to help and love somebody. Verse 33 says, Jesus took him aside, watch this, by himself, and he put his fingers into his ears. And after, that's the reason why we need to get a new mic, after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. Don't worry, I'm not going to kiss the mic, because Lady Martin is horrified, just wondering what I'm going to do next. I'm not going to go that far, all right? Hey, man, Ryan's been singing this morning. I love him, dog. I ain't gonna do it to you. I'm gonna buy me a new one. So Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself, I hope you hear it, and put his finger into his ears, touched him, and after spitting, something unconventional, touched him again with the saliva. You see, this is a deeply personal moment. Very deeply personal moment. The first thing, thank you, Holy Spirit, that just comes into my mind even before I go into the rest of my statement is I remember when Andre and Jaden were babies and I was reminiscing, I was showing Pop my favorite picture. You might have seen it on Facebook of me and my family, and I said that this is true wealth. Having my family is true wealth. Yeah, you can make all the money in the world, but and you can have a whole lot of things, but people won't remember any of that. They'll remember how you treated them. That's the main reason why we have lots of problems with our president. He has a lot of money, but he makes people feel some kind of way. And that's the reason why he gets so much heat. And some of us have done the same thing with other people in other people's lives. But I remember, even as I was showing Andre the picture today, I said, look at how round your head is. Yeah, how your head is round, just like your daddy. Look how small Jaden is. Did y'all know that when you're always small and you would have a little bit of crust around your eyes or a crust in your nose or some food on your face, I would. See, we didn't afford no wet wipes back in the day, so we'd use the next best thing, which is our saliva. And guess what? The baby did not care. Baby did not care. It was a form of intimacy. Because as the father, I did whatever I needed to do in order to clean the child up. Oh, you miss it. You miss it. You miss it. Even if it's unconventional, even if it seems like it's disgusting in your. Maybe you could go to Walmart and get you a 10-pack of nice little wet wipes that have Vaseline up under and it's warm. You got to put it in a warmer or something like that. So yeah, I got to get it all together like we did. But I'm just saying. When you don't have any of that, you come in. And when they small, they don't say nothing. But then when they start getting big, they be like, stop, mama. Stop, dad. Stop. Stop doing that. I pop bumps for a living. Y'all had one of the relatives in the house that said, come here. My dad used to do that with me. I do the same thing, too. Level of intimacy. It may look disgusting to those that may be watching, but in my eyes, I'm just trying to clean the person up. Deeply personal. Set apart. Separated. That's what Jesus did with this particular man, because sometimes when you're going through a process of healing, you don't need to have everybody looking. Everybody can't take your process. Everybody can't witness how God cleans you of nastiness, of saliva, busting bumps. Ugh. when I get my own child, I ain't gonna do none of that. Well, what happens when your wet wipes run out? You're on your way over to grandmama in the house, and grandmama always talk about how to tell your child's hair is nappy and they always dirty. So what you gonna do since you don't have no wet wipes in the car? Especially them corners. Mm-hmm. I touched the mic too, so we wipe it down after service. My wife is already thinking of that. Deeply personal moment. Because the crowd would have interrupted what Jesus was trying to do in the man's life. You know what this tells us, people of God? Well, number one, it tells us the biggest transformations are done in alone time with God. Oh, you missed it. Don't get caught up. See, that's exactly, you see your reaction? Your reaction of being horrified at what I was doing is distracting you from the power of what is happening behind the verse. So maybe, just maybe, if I talk to you one-on-one, you'll listen a little bit better. Because right now we're in the crowd. So if you're waiting for God to do a powerful work in the crowd, that's not how he works most times. He has to pull you off by yourself. Come on over here. Come on over here, brother. Come on over here, sister. They're not going to understand what I'm getting ready to do right now to you. They're not going to understand how I'm going to make and transform things. They're not going to understand what I'm going to do in your life. This has to be a one-on-one type of arrangement. Number two, your name and title are not important. You see, people of God, you don't know who the they are. We don't know who brought the man to Jesus. And we don't know the name of the man that was transformed by Jesus. You see, in the presence of God, his name is above all names. Therefore, what you do, what you got, where you've been, where you're going, does not matter to him. Let me make it plain. He will open heaven according to his will. From Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and Jairus, who the powerful ruler, the tax collector, was seen as a very rich individual back in the days of the Bible. And even today, Jairus had a daughter who was sick unto death, and all of the money and all of the influence, all of the political power, whether he was a Democrat or Republican, Pharisee or Sadducee, could not lift that girl up from off of her deathbed. So even the rich and powerful need Jesus, and Jesus will meet them at their home. Paul, the religious zealot, was another individual that needed Jesus. Lazarus, who was dead, as well as the feeding of the 5,000. All these individuals let us know that Jesus will speak to anyone across the entire political, socioeconomic spectrum. Let me make it plain. If you don't like the big words, he'll talk to the rich folk. He'll talk to poor folk and everybody in between. So how a person gets their breakthrough, here's the next little particular factor, may not take or may not make any type of sense to you. What do you mean you're going to and spit? That's unconventional. Why can't you just ba-la-la-la-la? Everybody in here who got kids knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't have any children yet, you don't have no at all what I'm talking about. Big Hero 6, you'll put it together. We actually heard somebody do that on the phone. I'll leave that one alone. In real life. So a way a person gets their breakthrough may not make any sense to you. In other words, it's what we would call unconventional. But it makes complete sense to God. Makes complete sense to God. Let me give you a theological term. The theological term, go ahead and you can put this on video and watch it for later, is called a paradox. The scriptures, just like your deep friend that has the nice little koofy on his head, likes to say, well, the Bible is full of contradictions. It's just going against itself. I was like, no, it's no contradictions. What's a contradiction to you makes complete sense to God. Because it is a paradox. In other words, you can't just take it at face value. You got to go deeper. You have to study deeper. You have to look deeper. You have to go deep into the text in order to get the essence, the full power of what it's saying. It's just like getting to the center of a Tootsie Roll pop. It's going to take some time. But once you finally get there, your jaws may be hurting because you tried to bite into it too hard. It may be a jawbreaker. Your teeth done got broken. Your mom and them not going to take you to the dentist at all because they can't afford nothing. Like, you shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. So you need to take your time and get to the center. That's what the Word of God is in large context. Also, we need to understand that while it makes complete sense to God, God also made us. And we are the result of His intelligent design. In other words, if something is broken, He knows. Fix it, Jesus. The great physician knows exactly where it hurts. He didn't say, okay, let me touch you in your eyes. He didn't say, let me touch you in your forehead. I'm going to go ahead and put my fingers in your ears and touch your tongue. In other words, I know exactly where it hurts. But that's not the best part. For those of you that are looking for a coming attraction, let's look at verse number 34. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh. The translation in the text says a deep groaning, an intense and inward feeling. He said to him, the man, Ephatha, that is, be open. Be open. That's what he said to the man. Be open. Be open. That's it. Put his fingers in the ears. Be open. But then I ask the question. It's kind of like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? That should never be a hard question for a Christian to answer. You always want to say the chicken first because God is the creator. I know Ariana Grande is saying that God is a woman, but God ain't no woman. And He ain't no man. He is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. See, I learned a couple of things out there being with the weed smokers and the wine bibbers and the drinkers out there. I got my whole playlist embedded into my mind. I got high. Lady Mars allergies were acting up, but I also got educated. So I ask you, what opened first? What opened first? The ears to hear? And mouth to speak, or heaven itself? Which opened first? If we look at the text says that Jesus looked up to heaven first. And with a deep sigh, He said to him, as He was looking to the man. So He was looking up to heaven first, and then looked at the man, and said, Ephatha, which is Aramaic for, or the translation meaning, be open. But I ask you, which one was He talking to? Sounds to me like Jesus was saying, open heaven. Open heaven. And then as a result of what was coming from out of heaven, got to the man. Oh, my Lord. Just think of it as like being Jacob's ladder. Jacob was in some trouble. He was in a hard, or between a hard and a rock and a hard place over there at Bethel. And he saw angels ascending and descending. That's where you get Jacob's ladder from. Inside the book of Luke, it also talks about Jesus was saying that He speaks to the Father, and there will be angels ascending and descending while His ministry was being perpetuated on the earth. And in this particular case, He looks up to heaven and then looks at the man, looks at the individual, looks at and mankind says, be open. Be open to heaven. Part A. Heaven open up. Part B. Oh, it's going to make sense even better. In other words, why look up and say open unless both places were closed? In other words, it was a to a place of brokenness and dysfunction. Open heaven, because it was closed to mankind. Open up your situation, because you need healing from your dysfunction. Transform my life, because things are out of order. In other words, I'm bringing purity to corruption. I'm bringing wholeness to brokenness. I'm bringing the potter to the clay. I'm opening up the pathway, because I am the door. I am the key. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Go to the sheep gate. I'm the door. Knock, and it will be open, and I will be there standing there to bring you an open heaven. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4 says, so He said to them, when you pray, This is where the context of the open heaven comes from. So he said to them, this is Jesus teaching. In other words, Jesus was walking out and he was trying to illustrate exactly what he meant among the people. So he said to them, when you pray, church folk, when you're trying to open up heaven between you and God, say this: our Father in heaven, that's the destination. Holy is your name. You know exactly what God's title and all the influence that he has with them. Your kingdom come, because the kingdom is not here. This is not you living your best life. No. This is not living your best life. Your best life is over there, and we're trying to get a visit in. We're trying to bring the kingdom here. It says your something here. It's not saying that we're trying to get earth to be the model for heaven, but heaven should be the model for earth. If there is no corruption, no tears, no bills, no dying, no crying, none of that up there, then maybe, just maybe, that's what needs to be open to us. If you're going to see a miracle, a sign, and wonder, it can't be performed by any type of human here. So we need to open heaven first. And we can't open heaven. It has to be Jesus that does it for us. The verse goes on to say, give us day by day our... blueprint for opening heaven. Open heaven. I'm not just talking about just an open room, but it was once closed. And because of Jesus, it can be opened up for us to be able to ascend and descend before the Father. It was the thing that Satan used to be able to do. In the Old Testament, in the book of Job, it would talk about how God said that the son of perdition was looking to and fro across the whole world, seeking whom he may devour. And it also talks about how Satan used to be able to visit heaven and petition and be an accuser of the brethren. Look at what they did. Even in today's society, it's very hard for you to defend against an accusation, a wild accusation, because there will always be some knucklehead that will take it as truth. Forget the details. I don't care about the details. I won't even read past the headline. I'll be judge, jury, and executioner all within the comments. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. So the way that it should be is how it is in heaven. The way that it needs to be is how it is in heaven. The model, the blueprint, it's not what's going on in the earth realm, but how it is in heaven. An open heaven. Open up to us, Lord God. Open up heaven to us. See, this particular prayer is the embodiment of Jesus Christ. It's an embodiment of the mediator between God and man. In other words, Jesus was saying to you and I, when you see me, it is a visit from heaven. When you see me, you have seen the Father. Did I lose you? Did you get lost between the part and right what I'm talking about right now? No. Let me help you a little bit. When Jesus was teaching his disciples the model prayer, our Father, which in heaven, he was giving a destination. Holy is your name. In other words, we know who we're talking to. Thy kingdom come. What kingdom? Are we talking about a physical or literal place? Partially, yes. But since the kingdom, if the kingdom was here literally right now, then a couple of things have already happened. The Jews have now gotten saved. The son of perdition has now appeared. The 3 year of tribulation has already happened. But so none of those things have happened. So that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about God's way of doing things. That's here right now. It's in the person of Jesus. And anytime you want to visit heaven, you talk to Jesus. When you want to see God, talk to Jesus. Because when you see him, you see the Father. In other words, look at the process here and realize from where the help came from. Jesus was being a model for us. He looked up to heaven and then looked at the situation. He didn't look at the situation and then look up to heaven. Let me help you. You look to heaven and then you ask God, how am I going to pay these bills? You look up to heaven and say, how am I going to handle this relationship? You look up to heaven and you say, how am I going to be able to handle these kids? You look up to heaven and say, how am I going to be able to handle this crazy behind coworker? You look up to heaven first. You don't look at the situation first. The heaven dictates how you're going to handle the situation. You don't look at the earthly things and how to handle earthly situations. So that's the process here. Remember, Jesus is God. Not many people want to say that today, but he is God. He is a part of the tripartite God. We believe in one God and three persons. Jesus is God. He is the bridge between God and man. Not a religious one, but relational through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is the one who can open. But first, there must be a touch from him. Then things will open up for a visit. He's the conduit. He is the door. He's got to touch you first. Then hope heaven opens up first. Next. If you don't know him, you got a lot of people be like, I got a relationship with God. I got a relationship with God. But do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? No. Then heaven is closed to you. Amen. Because God can't have a one-on-one relationship with mankind. Definitely not the Gentiles. The only people that God has a one-on-one relationship with without Jesus is his chosen people, the people of Israel. And that is a special arrangement by blood. But for everybody else that's not related by blood, then we have to have Jesus Christ as our go-between, as our mediator between God and man. Because anybody that goes before God must be holy. And last time I checked, ain't nobody in here holy. So we have a relational bridge through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is the one who opens heaven. But there has to be a touch in your heart first. There has to be a touch oftentimes in your situation first. Then you'll be able to understand the visit, the visitation, if you will. Verse 35 says, and his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue. He had a stuttering problem, and it was removed, and he began speaking plainly. He went from to, hi, how you doing? My name is Professor Malton. He began to speak plainly, clearly. However, this moment is not isolated. When Jesus groaned with a deep sigh, it was actually done before with Lazarus, who was wrapped in dead man's clothes. He actually did it twice. He groaned towards the people because they're unbelief. There's some people in here right now and be like, I'm here in church, but I don't believe a word you got to say. I'm still, watch this, looking at my earthly situation. I'm not looking to heaven right now. But guess what? If you want more visitations, if you want God to be able to transform your situation, you better look up to heaven first. Because heaven is the place that has all of the answers. Why? Because that's where God dwells. And if you look to people, you better look at the people that he sent to you. And all the people that he sends to you are not going to be your friends. Even a shark can bring you food. So this moment is not isolated. When Jesus groaned with a deep sigh, again, it was with Lazarus, who was wrapped in dead man's clothes and was dead and forgotten and stinking after 3 days. So Jesus groaned towards the people because of his unbelief. And then he groaned towards heaven to be like, Lord God, can you please help this dead situation? I am the door in heaven. Let your spirit rain down on this situation. And then out of that situation, the man who was once in dead man's clothes, all bound, all restricted, can't speak for God, can't see for God, can't hear God, can't smell, can't taste to see what the Lord is good. Now he's loosened up and ready to move forward. Verse 36 says, and he gave them orders. Jesus told them, be quiet. What I've done in your life. But he understands human nature too. He knows that y'all like to gossip even about good things. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone. But the more he told them to be quiet, don't say anything, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. Because humility has a way of advertising itself. God says that the more that you humble yourself, the more that I will exalt you. So the only thing that Jesus was doing was following the word of God. They were utterly astonished, saying, "He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The testimony that I'm speaking of this morning, even as I come around the mountain, is one of the most powerful witnesses of God's power in the earth today. Not only will man testify of the goodness of God's miraculous power, but also to those who witness his transformation. So it's not just about you getting your breakthrough. It's about sometimes you getting your breakthrough and those that will get their breakthrough because of you. Because of what they see in your life. I told you a little bit about my history, about my